so nice to be here with you this morning. And you may have noticed on our schedule here that the topic of my talk is mindfulness of the body, or embodied resilience. And I hope by the end of this half hour you have some idea of what I mean by that. And this will be kind of a mixture of a talk, a meditation, and some movement together. So there will be times when I'll be inviting you to close your eyes and take your attention within, and times when I'll be describing something. So let's begin by checking in, taking attention within, and noticing the presence within, feeling the sense of the spaciousness within you, the awareness and aliveness within you. We've already cultivated that warmth and space through the half hour sit together. So it might be really accessible as you open into it right now, connecting with it. And then as you're ready, you might like to open your eyes and notice the sense of presence and connection within the room. Each of us aware and alive in our own bodies and space, but it feels different in a group, doesn't it? That capacity for connection in community is another level of aliveness. And then even allow your attention to broaden out and notice the connection with the space outdoors, the beautiful sunlight and the trees, the sense that it's almost spring. Is that the quality of the light or the little bit of life we can detect under the snow in the earliest blossoming flowers? So we're located here, 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 and in connection with everything around us. And so an entry point into an embodied practice for me as a yoga teacher is very often the same thing it is for you when you begin to sit in meditation, and that is connecting with a sense of grounding, connecting with a sense of your location. So let's tune into that now, the sense that we're here, rooted to our seats and knowing that the earth is somewhat beneath us, feeling the heaviness of the body, maybe taking a deep breath in as if the breath can come all the way down to the hips, connecting you with the earth. And notice the sense of anchoring, deepening into that connection and the grounding. Each time you breathe in, breathing in, drawing the air as if to your hips and moving down your legs to your feet. Can you feel yourself close to the ground? And what do you notice as you feel that grounding? Perhaps a sense of stability, and knowing that this capacity to feel grounded, to enter into an embodied practice through deliberately focusing our attention on the sensation of grounding, engages with a much earlier area of the brain where we developed the capacity to locate ourselves in space, the hippocampus. And as that happens, it brings a steadying to the mind, because it's when we're not located, not grounded, not connected, that the mind is scanning for, we don't know what, danger, where is safe, where is safety? So in order to come online in our awareness, a first step can be that anchoring, locating, really relishing the capacity we have that's psychological, spiritual, physical, energetic, to be here, to know ourselves as here, safe and present, creating a foundation for an opening to being in a deliberate way. And I invite you now to open your eyes. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly. The mudra that the Buddha was doing when he attained enlightenment, the Bhumisvara Mudra. Is that how you pronounce it? I've seen so many pronunciations. I invite everyone to try that now. With your right hand facing your leg, touching your fingers to the ground, connecting to the ground. I'm going to connect to my chair. And notice that. It's like a grounding, the way we might ground an electrical device. So touching the ground with your hand, and knowing, I'm not a Buddha scholar, but Buddha, from what I understand in the stories, was connecting with earth as a witness to his enlightenment. And while we may not be asking that same connection right now, when we touch the earth, we are connecting with a source of our being that is much greater than we are. So deliberately we can touch the earth and open to that connection, the reciprocal relationship that we have as an embodied creature to the earth from which we sprang and still remain connected. So touching the earth, we ground, we connect, we acknowledge that we are more than just this shell walking around. And with the other hand, left hand, palm face up, just under the navel, we're making a gesture of receiving. What does this feel like? What do you feel you're receiving? Open to newness, energy, spirit, aliveness. So in this way, touching the earth, feeling that sensation, the grounding and anchoring, opening ourselves to receive, again, we become the location of a process of being a channel between the earth that grounds us and the spirit that we may receive, which is a becoming. So while we may not be saying, you know, can I please sign up for the $5,000 course in enlightenment and then have a certificate saying I'm enlightened, what we may be saying by this gesture with our body is, I choose to be this location of living process of becoming, of a living process of awakening, And that can, our practice can then be a physical practice of a commitment to opening and awakening. And it can help us ignite, well, it is actually an expression of the igniting of a passion for learning what is the truth of our being. If you feel like relaxing your hands, go ahead. So, as a yoga teacher, I've had this passion. That has been my passion or my perspective for my whole adult life, to see what is this wholeness that's going on here. Although we can talk about the experience on the level of mind or psychology, we can see things through the lens of body and physiology or spirit, all of the different levels. In actuality, it's all happening at once. We're all of those things, all of those levels and aspects of experience. And so in my practice of yoga, I first wanted to experience those levels together and how they came together. And over time, as I've taught my yoga class, it's really been an invitation to experience all of the levels at once for my students and myself. I do it as much for myself as for anyone I'm ever teaching. So this, for the rest of our talk, I'd like to share more of these embodied experiences that help us choose and make our way and navigate into the kind of open presence that, because we're here, we seem to be called to want to experience through meditation. And let's notice again that way that the body and the mind and the spirit connect with each other. Something as simple as a smile. Turn the corners, edges of your lips up. Make the gesture of a smile. What do you notice when you do that? What do you feel on the inside? A brightening?
Lightness.
Well, you know, this goes very far beyond that old saying of that maybe your mother said, put a smile on your face. Actually, the neuroscience of smiling shows that it's a reciprocal, smiling itself, the muscular movement, is in a reciprocal relationship with the brain. And we actually do activate the parts of the brain that are involved in mood and happiness when we smile. So if we smile, we do begin to embody and teach our brain to become something that it's not when we begin. And many of you might have heard the saying attributed to Thich Nhat Hanh. Actually, it's a chapter of one of his books, Smile, Breathe, and Go Slowly. Have you heard that? I love that as a meditation. It can be a walking meditation. Smile, breathe, and go slowly. The other thing that's fascinating to me about the connection between smile and the brain and our inner experience is, maybe you've heard this too, research shows that people who've received Botox injections that in the forehead and between the brow that inhibit that ability to furrow your brow and scowl actually receive an antidepressant effect from Botox. Isn't that great? and that's been confirmed with brain scans and, you know, psychiatric interviews. So we're all connected. And one of the things I've always been inspired by this. And in coming to give a Dharma talk today, I was looking up the word Dharma itself. And the Sanskrit root word, dhr, dir, which I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce, means to hold, to support, with something established and firm. And I consider this kind of practice, of the embodied practice, mindfulness of the body, to be a holding and a support for the kind of growth and development that we're feeling called to do through meditation. And I feel that yoga then is, it can be that something established and firm that we rest on as we begin our practice. And so the root of Dharma then, dir, meaning to hold or support, then has evolved. And of course, you know, with all of the Sanskrit words that are so ancient that we actually have no idea what that culture is about, it evolves over time. And into Dharma, which we can consider to be the truth of things. And neuroscientist and Buddhist Rick Hansen has coined a term called neurodharma, which is the truth of the mind grounded in the truth of the body, particularly the nervous system. So here he's pointing at a oneness, mind and body and brain, using separate words. But I mean, that's the language we have here. We have a language filled with separate words for understanding. So I love this term, neurodharma. Even though we're a whole body, mind, spirit, with the growth of modern neuroscience, we have understanding of how the brain works. So we have practices that we can access which allow us to cultivate what we need to support ourselves, to hold ourselves, to be present in our own particular journey that we're here in this place, this location that we are, of transforming what we were given in life, which is usually some things to work out, into our most aware, responsible, conscious selves. So meditation changes the brain, and physical practices can support us in becoming more aware, more present, and also in giving us tools to do the kind of deconditioning work that we all end up charged with. So, in other words, we've all heard that this phrase, I believe, the longest journey you'll ever undertake is the journey from the head to the heart. Have people heard that? Is that? Mm-hmm. I think that's Ram Dass's quote. Well, as a yoga teacher, what I want to say is it's not just a metaphorical journey. It's actually a physical journey as well. It happens in our bodies. And so I've got a few practices for us to experience this with, and to highlight that our nervous system has capacities to engage us on different levels. There's a deepening that happens in the nervous system depending on our state. Knowing what you feel like when you're stressed, everyone bring that to mind. The fight or flight response, the feeling of your breath is becoming more rapid, your heart is pounding, I mean, cortisol is released, the body is primed to move, to fight, to flee, to sometimes freeze, or even fawn. So our body, when we're stressed, in any way, has this activation. Have you ever tried to sit in meditation when you're feeling that activation? Mm-hmm. Yes. Really skilled meditators can actually sit and then calm themselves. Sometimes we need something in between the stress response and being able to be present. That's where yoga comes in handy. And so let's experience then, having brought to mind that sense of what the body is like when we're activated in stress. And let's stand up if it's convenient for you and just roll our shoulders. Move around in any way that you feel like moving. Move your muscles, swing your arms. Take a big breath in. Stretch up. Exhale. Roll your shoulders again. Swinging a little bit. And then placing your hands on your lower ribs. Let's take in a deep breath. Inhaling so that you can feel your hands expanding. Your hands expand, your lower ribs expand, your abdomen expands. You're really breathing into the lower lungs and then exhaling, feeling the lungs empty, the body relax. And one more time, breathing in. And then gently, slowly releasing. And a third time, breathing in. And then releasing. And let's take our seat. So what happens with movement and breathing is the nervous system moves out of fight and flight into rest and digest. And as we know, just feeling into our experience right now, we may feel more calm. There might not be the urge to get up and flee. Speaking for myself, no. The heartbeat begins to slow down. The breath rate begins to slow down. What happens also is other neurological things. Hearing improves. So let's notice our sense of hearing. Notice our sense of vision. We can see. Seeing improves. When we're in fight and flee, that's not the time that we can do like delicate embroidery because we can't focus at that level. We also begin to be able to notice each other and notice our internal state. That's when our internal interoception, felt sense, comes online. If we're stressed, we're not sitting around thinking, I have the slightest sense of, you know, guilt in my abdomen. No, we're fighting and fleeing. But as we calm to the first level, we begin to be able to feel our felt sense. So that's one level. We can calm the nervous system. The next level then becomes the level at which we connect even more deeply. And that happens when we engage in deepening practices that stimulate the vagus nerve, for example, or stimulate even deeper relaxation, or begin to bring energy and awareness to stimulate the electrical activity of the heart. So let's try this next level of engagement. You might like to put two fingers at your sternum and feel the chest area by that heightened sense of touch at your chest. Just tune in and feel that area that you're touching. And begin to breathe in and out through that spot, as if you're breathing in and out through your actual physical heart or your spiritual heart. Breathing in, envisioning the breath warming and touching the whole area in the chest. And as we do this practice, then bring to mind and heart and your felt sense a person you love, a dog you love, a place you love. Bring in that sense of love and care, perhaps joy you feel when you're with someone that you care about and who cares about you. Bring in the felt sense of your capacity for love and care, the warmth that goes with loving, the way it feels to be held with tenderness, the way it feels to hold with tenderness. And then allowing eyes to open, and you can keep your hand there or release it. This is a heart coherence technique practice that begins to synchronize the electrical activity in the brain and the heart that creates coherence between the nervous system and the electrical activity of the heart, which the electrical activity of the heart is much greater than that of the brain. And so if we deliberately engage this field here, it helps to allow the mind and the heart to come into harmonious relation rather than that usual way that we often live our days, which is kind of top down, like this part gets to tell the rest of us what to do. But in our practice, if we can engage the natural physiology through movement, through touch, through breathing, that brings online this awareness of the capacity in our hearts, where that's similar to what happens in the practice of loving kindness, right? We're embodying that sense of love for ourselves, for others, and for the world. And this generates, when the heart is in this coherent state, an electrical field that goes 3 feet around the body. So we're all sitting here with an electrical field that goes 3 feet around us. And that field is filled with information, like what, you might say. We can sense when someone is really present and when someone is loving and kind. We can sense when they're really not. And so one field of our joint potential for engagement is this connected field, which I've heard called we space. So let's just take 1 minute now and feel into that connection. See if you can notice what it's like to be here aware together, perhaps compared to what it's like to be home alone meditating. Can you feel yourself present, the warmth in your own heart? Can you feel being here in the room with others? Others similarly inclined to grow in your capacity to be present. What do you feel present in the field? And ask yourself that same question that you would ask yourself when you're tuning into your own experience. What do you feel present? We can ask that of the group. What do we feel present? I can feel into the space and just me, I feel a sense of delight and open energy. And this is our social coherence. So we have heart-brain coherence within. We have social coherence in connection with our group. And perhaps this has something to do with the notion that the Sangha is also a refuge. This is an aspect of our resilience. We need each other. We are each other connected. So we're embodying resilience within ourselves, within our bodies. We're embodying resilience with social coherence and our connection together. And as that happens, the nervous system shifts into an even deeper capacity of greater empathy, safety. Our vision becomes better. We can read each other's facial expressions with sensitivity. These are actual neural capacities. We're not striving for an external value. This is actually our capacity, our given biology. And once we have that level of security, connection, aliveness, that's when the capacity for flow opens up within us. What does that mean? I mean, there are researchers who study what is flow. Watching animals, when they feel this level of safety and connection, they start playing. They do that. Maybe you've done this with your dog or your kids or siblings when you were little. Like kind of hiding, like one animal hides and the other chases it. I'm trying to remember what it's called. There's a name for that.
Hide and seek.
Chase and evade. Yeah, it's the researchers call it hide and seek, chase and evade. And so all of that's also the state in which we're most creative, which we can find solutions to problems that we didn't know existed, where we can see connections that we never knew. And so the news is then that our, from the scientific point of view, that our hearts, when they're in this coherent state, have a frequency, the electrical field has a frequency of 0.1 hertz, which also is the same as the frequency of the Earth, 0.1 hertz. So when we get to this deepest regulated state of the nervous system, we're resonating with the frequency of the Earth, and we begin to feel that. That connection, the non-dual awareness, the unitive state of consciousness, there are beautiful and poetic names for it, the all-pervading beauty, the beloved with whom I'm reunited. And these are all our biological capacities, and this then is our resilience on another level, which is our resilience is on a foundation of our connection with all of life. We're not just, you know, isolated brains on a stick floating around out there, although sometimes it might look that way, and our culture has certainly not helped us to realize this full capacity yet. But it's here within us. And just as that mudra that we did at the beginning, which we can do now, kind of comes full circle. We are that holding. We are that groundedness. We touch the earth, and the earth touches us. It's reciprocal. The earth holds us. The earth receives what we don't need and gives us a foundation. And we also receive spirit and connection. And we can choose to be the embodiment of all of these possibilities, which is also an evolution, a becoming. And I just want to share a quote and then I'm finished. The vast expanse, unwavering, is undescribable and equal to space, is timelessly and innately present in all beings. That's a quote of a 14th century Tibetan Buddhist teacher, Longchen Rabjum. But it sounds kind of timely. Thank you.